Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on the morning show. John Chuckery in for John Fricke. Hanging out with my man Hugh Douglas. Got you today, we got you tomorrow. Heck, we got you Saturday morning. So
Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be busy. So Hugh calls this his 3-day weekend leave pass from his personal Vietnam, so he's enjoying. He got some R&R in Tokyo for this weekend because he got out of Da Nang and fighting in the rice paddies.
He's silly.
So it's good stuff. So there you go. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. We are streaming online, Hugh. If you go to 929thegame.com, you can listen to our show live. You can catch replays of the show, all our best interviews, moments, all of that on our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download, Hugh, your radio.com app. If you've got a phone, you got a tablet, if you got a boombox, a turntable, Blu-ray, laser disc, whatever you got, VCR, just put it on one of your devices. That way you catch us on the go anywhere, and you can always listen to us that way. Social media, all of it is at 929thegame. We've got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, so you can catch all of that at 929thegame. Best way if you want to interact with the show throughout, as always, follow us on Twitter. He is at BigHugh53. I am at, I said that right, BigHugh53, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Right.
At BigHugh53, at JMCH316. We still got a busy second half of the show. We're going to talk to Jason Longshore at 8:20. We're going to talk to Danny Hall, Georgia Tech baseball coach, at 8:40. So our thanks to Scott Strickland for joining us as well. I thought that was a lot of good information, good interview as they get ready. You know, Atlanta United last night, Hugh, as they win 3-0 over Minnesota, having lost a couple, having won 5 in a row by shutout. They keep up that streak of, as long as they don't let up a goal, they don't lose, and that carried over last night. But one guy who is getting a lot of buzz and overseas that this team has missed over the last few weeks has been Ezekiel Barco, who scored a couple of goals against South Africa recently. He's, you know, over there in the U-20 World Cup, and a lot of people starting to wonder about whether or not he may decide to stay overseas. You know, obviously had a couple things going on here before and some issues. Seems to have gotten that behind him, but some people starting to wonder, Hugh.
He ain't never coming back.
Yeah, maybe Barco doesn't end up coming back.
You know, it's funny. I talking to Mike Conte the other day.
Shout out to Mike Conte.
Yeah. And he was talking about how I had asked him a question about the scheduling for Atlanta United and how, you know, Major League Soccer might want to look at this. And he basically said that, you know, with as hot as Atlanta United is right now and the demand for them to be on television, it kind of is what it is because you're still growing the sport of soccer here. And thinking about that, when he said that and hearing this story, I think it makes perfect sense. If there's a transfer fee for him or if there's a price tag out there for him, you got to take it. Because that just makes it gives more credibility to American soccer, you know, and to have a guy like that going back home and tearing it up like that, you got to do it. I mean, as much as it will hurt us because we're banged up right now and you know, you're hoping – he was one of the guys that you were hoping to get back. If somebody comes in and makes you one of those offers that you can't refuse, you got
to
take it.
Yeah, I mean, Miguel Almirón was that way. I mean, you hated to lose Miggy and you knew it was going to have a big effect on your team. But listen – part of the reason why you bring these guys over is to make money off them and use that money and turn around and invest in new guys.
And make your team better. And this is the thing that I think Atlanta United fans have to understand, and I don't think they've grasped this yet because everything is still new. Chuck, you talk about in the 3-year time, you won an MLS Cup.
Yep.
You're the hottest thing in the city right now. And for Darren Eels and those guys, Carlos Bocanegra, this is exactly what you wanted. Like, you're talking about in a short period of time going from ashy to classy, like and to get the notoriety that you're getting, hit the ground running like that. you couldn't ask for anything more. You know, you talk about like startup companies and things of that nature, how it takes a while. You know, you hear those stories about, hey, man, at one point I thought they were going to, you know, shut the doors on the building and things like that. To have it, to have your company or your club hit the ground running like this, and then to have the potential of having not one but two guys that are going to play internationally that came from your – that play for you, you got to take – you got to do that.
Yeah.
You have to do – that's good business. That's good business.
And you brought over the, what, South American Player of the Year in PT Martinez, yes. You know, as well. So he's another guy who – you know, Yosef looks like at this point he's a guy that's going to stay with Atlanta United. I wasn't sure – some people don't really know – where he fits on the international landscape, because mm-hmm. he's not the same kind of player that Miguel Almirón is. Yeah, he's a great striker, but he's maybe a little bit more limited in some of his skill set, the way, you know, Almirón's, you know, arguably as good a two-way player as there is. So a little bit more involved in that. I'm not going to sit here and lie and tell you that I know enough about Yosef's game and how it would translate to some of the bigger clubs, but that's why people think that he will be more with Atlanta United because he can thrive here.
A mainstay, yeah, and he gets a lot of love here. It's something to be said about being in a place that everybody loves you and like you're the man. You know, I mean, it's the truth. And, you know, guys are going to come and go, but this is the ebb and flow of Atlanta United right now because they are so good. And that's the thing that I don't think people realize, because, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about how, you know, I need this to be the team that it was last year. Mm-hmm. It's not the team that it was last year.
No, I think
and guess
it's,
what?
Yeah.
Guess what, Chuck? It's going to change again. Well, if this happens, it's going to change again.
As long as you win. You know, that's my only thing. I mean, look, if we got used to winning 4-1 and now we have to win 1-0, then I'm okay with that. I think it's a hard transformation for some people to understand, but at the same time, as long as you win. The problem is sometimes this team hasn't won, though, Hugh. That's been where people have gotten sideways is when they don't win. It's one thing to lose, you know, 4-3. It's another thing you're losing 1-0, and it's you're losing in a completely different style than what you've been used to playing.
And I chalk that up to growing pains. I chalk that up to adjustments being made, and also chalk that up to personnel settling in different personnel all the time and learning on the fly. You know, you look at the time that they've had to work together and how many matches they played. I would venture to say it's about even as far as your practice time as opposed to your actual time on the pitch. It's about even, and it shouldn't be like that. You know, you're supposed to get more practice time than right. anything just to get acclimated to what you're trying to do. I would probably say it's probably a little skewed in that sense because of – you know, everything that happened, new manager, new coach, new moving parts, international play, CONCACAF, all of that. And it's been hard to adjust all that. With all that going on and this short period of time when you're playing a bunch of games, with all that going on, you're still in a good spot.
Oh, yeah.
And
no
I know
question.
And I know that.
They're still the favorite to win, I hate to tell you. I mean,
they are.
I shouldn't say hate to tell you, but they're the favorite to win.
And you're banged up. And you're banged up physically. Like you, like this, like seriously. If I'm
that was
Atlanta
me,
United,
Randy, and Brian on Monday. We were all banged
yeah,
up.
Banged yeah, up. Yeah. And you still got to play. You still got to play.
Yeah, we were here.
Yes.
We were here in spirit. I don't know what we sounded like.
But you were here. You were here.
Yeah. I don't know what we sounded like.
A little slurred, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at Brian. I thought Brian was going to die on us a few times. You know, I thought, you know, like
it was a good time.
Like though. I went into Brian a couple points and I said, "Hey, do you need to teach me how to run the board? Because I may have to."
That was a good time at Randy Mac's.
No, it was though. That was good stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, but if
I was I rocking the outfit?
No, you were rocking. You had the pink shorts on. You had the cigar. You stogie.
Yeah. Powder blue with the pink shirt, Hawaiian shirt, rocking the pink shorts.
It was some ladies at the spot. You know, it was some ladies at Randy's. It was some ladies at Randy's spot. You know what? I realized like Randy's wife is the best. Like she's the best person that, you know, he outkicked his coverage.
Yeah, she's great.
But
yeah.
You know what? I come to realize when I went there, because there was a couple single people there. Like I am the guy that I know Randy has never told me this, but I know this is probably true. Like the undateable dude. Like I think that's me in Randy Mac's house.
Oh,
like the undateable dude.
Yeah, I think.
Hey, you know what? Cousin or auntie, whatever, stay away from that guy.
No, listen.
guy right there.
No, you said, listen, you say that, and, you know, like, Randy and I have become brothers at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, like we're family. I think he feels the same way about me. He's got that. He's got that one friend of his, and like him and his wife had that one girlfriend that her name is Marina. And like they know I'm like.
Is she there? Was she there?
No,
she wasn't.
No,
there.
She lives down in Miami, but she's come up. They know I'm completely.
No,
I've had her.
I've had that.
And, like, they do everything they can to keep her away.
Yeah, because they don't want it to be bad.
No, yes,
like,
exactly.
I've had that conversation with Randy, and Randy looks at me dead in my face, and he says, no, Hugh, no.
Yep.
Fine. But it's just funny because you just know you're a good dude. Like you're a good friend, but you're not the dateable friend. Like, you know what I mean?
I think that's, yeah, because, like, they I think Randy's scared, like, you know, about
because he don't
want
to hear it. He don't want to hear it.
Right.
He don't want to hear that. He don't want to hear the backlash about that.
Yeah, because I ask about her all the time, like, oh, you know, she's supposed to be here, whatever.
Nobody want that drama.
Like, when she's there, they kind of, like, have some fun with it. Like, they'll like, only open up the couch or she has to sit next to me, you know, or something like that, you know, whatever.
They'll pull that back.
But then on the other hand, it's like, no. Yeah.
Randy has been through that a few times. I get that feeling that he's been through that. And I think when he looks at me,
No, I feel that drama. I feel that completely. Now, supposedly his wife, you know, is, you know, like if you're looking for, Randy has said, like, some of his buddies have come and cried on the couch.
Yeah.
Well, they've come and cried on this couch to his wife or whatever like that, and she'll kind of guide him in the right direction or whatever like that. So,
but yeah, you got it. I don't think, like, she made me some cotton candy, though, because Randy has a big old cotton candy machine.
Yeah. So you were excited about that, weren't
you? Oh, man,
you?
I'm telling you, to me, that was like, the best. Like, I eat cotton candy before I eat a meal. I eat, like,
but see,
sweets.
You got there kind of late to where you missed some of the other food. You missed some of the mac and cheese and the sausages
that. I did the chicken. I kind of try to stay on
the
diet
path. Left.
Yeah,
you ate what was left.
But the chicken, it was a lot of chicken.
It was a lot of chicken, so
I ate some chicken.
There wasn't a whole lot left after everybody was done, I can tell you that. By the end of the night, there wasn't a whole lot of food left.
It was a nice time.
Did you get some of the pig? You know, he cooked a pig.
No,
did you
I didn't.
Eat some pig?
I didn't eat. I'm not Muslim, but I did not partake in the swine. I did not. I just didn't.
You don't? Do you not eat pork?
I can't say that I wouldn't eat it. I don't prefer it. Now, I will, like, if you
ribs
cook,
or anything,
if you cook pork chops, if you cook some pork chops, I'm eating them pork chops.
Okay.
I mean, the pork. I haven't had a fried pork chop in a long time, but if you fry that pork chop the right way, I'm going to probably eat that pork chop.
Even you have your standards. So. Hey, let's give away a whole bunch of pork chops right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Code word for this hour is badge. Badge. B-A-D-G-E. Badge. For your chance to win $1,000 in our national signing bonus contest, you've got until 8:59 a.m. Eastern time to text BADGE, B-A-D-G-E, to 72881 from your cell phone, 72881. Not our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, but 72881. One more time, the code word to the National Signing Bonus Contest this hour is BADGE, B-A-D-G-E. Text BADGE to 72881 from your cell phone. Hugh, message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. And for complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. I can tell you one thing. You know, I will say Randy does cook up some seriously good ribs.
Randy is a great cook.
Mm-hmm.
No question about
it. And he
that.
Loves doing it, too.
Yeah.
Despite what he may or may not say, he loves to get out there and cook. I mean, he got that big smoker just to put that pig on there and brought that pig and everything. Because, you know, it was a luau and everything. So
yeah, it was a fun time, too. Shout out to my man, Randy Mack.
Yeah, and I had to keep feeding you napkins because you had your towel, but you were afraid to – you weren't going to wipe your hands on your sweat towel.
You know what's
so
funny? Because
I just kept having to go in and grab you a whole pile of napkins.
No, because I got barbecue sauce all over my beard and whatnot. But no, the sweat towel is for sweat. It's like when you sweat. You can't have barbecue sauce on your sweat towel because that just looks real bad. Like wiping your face with barbecue sauce and sweat
It's already funny watching you walk around with that sweat towel to start with and the hat and everything.
The minimum, like when you're like 250 plus, you got to have a sweat towel.
Yeah,
in the summertime, especially here in Georgia, because you're leaking.
See,
like,
I hit my goal on Sunday. I was trying to. I wanted to be by Memorial Day. I wanted to be under 240, and I got to 239.
That's what's
so,
up.
Yeah, you know, so I hit my goal.
So you don't need a sweat towel. Technically, you're not a sweat towel guy.
Well, maybe by your definition, but I do sweat a good bit.
No, but you were chilling though. You had on your lavender, your pinky was chilling.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's no way though with that outfit I had on that I could throw a sweat towel on my shoulder.
No, you couldn't because it wouldn't look right.
Yeah, it wouldn't look right.
It looked like you were about to jump in the convertible when you left. Though.
Well, Randy's like, why didn't you take pictures and like that should be your new profile pic? You know, is you know that outfit? I'm like,
oh,
I wear that
you
outfit
on the,
again.
You on the Tinder? You on the Tinder?
No. He's talking about the only social media. I don't do any of that.
You don't do the day naps.
You know what, Hugh? I did years ago. I did some of the online stuff, and I got to tell you, It was so awful. Just the whole experience was so bad that I will never, like, listen, God's already told me I'm going to die alone in an apartment under a blanket with the lights out.
And that's not the
all
case.
I'm hoping for is that somebody, all I'm hoping for, Hugh, is that somebody finds my body 2 or 3 days later so I don't completely stink up the place.
You got to shoot the J, man. Active shooter in the building. You got to shoot.
Yeah, but the way.
You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
But see, but I'm not in that realm, though, that you
yes,
are,
Hugh. You can.
Like, I can't, but that's not what I do.
Listen, you live
see,
in
that's why I was trying to define. That's why I was trying to get your definition of. Of shooting the J. I legitimately haven't, I would tell you, have I talked to females since, you know, and we have a new verb, you know.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Jarvis calls it, I got posened. You know, that from now on, anytime I symbolically get kicked in the groin or I go down and, like, I'm basically the Luftwaffe versus the P-51 Mustangs in World War II. Anytime I get shot down in flames, from now on, it's called I got posened.
This is the thing.
So I haven't asked or talked that way to anybody since
Let me
then.
Tell you. I get shot down every day. I get rejected every day.
Yeah, but you can afford to do that.
But no, you're looking at it wrong.
You can afford to do that.
You got to keep shooting. The shot going to land eventually. You just got to keep shooting, man.
But you can afford to do that.
Got to keep shooting.
You're Hugh Douglas.
Steph Curry would become Steph Curry if he would have stopped shooting when he missed the first, 10-3?
But y'all got paid a lot of money.
Nothing to do with money. Keep shooting, man. Keep shooting. Active shooter in the building. Keep shooting.
Yeah. Them screets out there, man, they're rough. Anyway, speaking of rough, it wasn't rough last night at Mercedes-Benz as Atlanta United 3-0 over Minnesota. We will talk to our guy, Jason Longshore, color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Up next, John Chuckery in for John Fricke, Hugh Douglas in the Kia Studios, but first, the CBS Sports Minute.
It's shot score!
United are back in action.
As they kick off season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in the Kia Studios on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke off for a few days. John Chuckery in here. I spell it the right way though. It's J-O-N, not J-O-H-N. Hugh Douglas, my spiritual advisor to my left. Hanging out with you till 10 o'clock, as always. Another good night down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 3-0 Atlanta United wins over Minnesota. Not getting ready for action on Saturday. We go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our color analyst for all things Atlanta United here on Sports Radio 92 in the Game. Jason Longshore joining us. Brought to you by Heineken 0.0. Great taste. Zero alcohol. He's on Twitter at Longshoe. Keep up with all of his things going on there. Good morning to you, Jason.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, much better. I was actually at the match last night, Jason, and good stuff last night. You know, it was funny. You talk about a guy who was going to make sure that nothing bad happened in 7 minutes of stoppage time that was put on at the end of that. Joseph Martinez was going to make sure that there was going to be no goals given up in stoppage time this week.
It was so impressive how that whole play developed. The first goal, anyway. The second one was a mistake from Ike Opara that I think he just thought he had somebody behind him to head that back to. But the first goal, the little chip inside your own defensive third from Franco Escobar down the line. And Julian Gressel, who is on tired legs and has to kind of gut that one out to get around the defender, does. And then you give Joseph a chance to go put the game away. And you're not going to deny Joseph at that point.
When you look at that game last night, or the match last night, it felt to me like Minnesota wanted to get chippy early on and they really weren't concerned about playing too much soccer. Did you see it the same way?
It's specifically from Abu Dunlady up top. And this match was kind of a referendum for Dunlady. Remember, he was the number one pick in the 2017 Super Draft. Number two in that draft was Miles Robinson. Number eight in that draft was Julian Gressel. And Dunlady has been compared to both of them throughout his career. He committed 6 fouls on the night, and it really felt like he was more interested in tippiness, little late kicks, running into players from behind at the end of plays, rather than getting involved in the play. And Minnesota was better when he was substituted off.
Color analyst for Atlanta United here on Sports Radio, next on the game, Jason Longshore, as he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, one thing it certainly felt like, though, Jason, the first half of that match, Minnesota was in no hurry to get up and down the field. They were in no hurry to get into any kind of offense, you know. And you and I had talked over the weekend about, you know, kind of what would they do. They are, you know, maybe a little bit more aggressive than they've been. But they acted like for a lot of that first half, they wanted nothing to do with pushing Atlanta United and maybe risking a turnover.
Yeah, they knew with Roman Metz in there, their usual right back, he was out suspended on yellow card accumulation. They knew that they were going to have to approach this a little differently. And they played five in the back. They haven't done that much this season. Hassani Dotson, a rookie, was on the right side, and Miguel Ibarra, who's more of an attacking midfielder, was on the left side. So they had to sit deeper. And I thought Atlanta really took advantage in the first 45 minutes and looked as sharp and as fresh as we've seen. Now, they ran out of gas a little bit in the second half, and Minnesota started to grab control of it. But Atlanta, good job to kind of gut that one out as the second half went on. You bring on Florentine Pogba. Atlanta got a little defensive late, and then you get the goals and stoppage time to seal it.
With that being said, you know, and we were talking about that earlier, how it looked like, you know, for them late in the game, for Atlanta to gut it out like this. Are you worried a little bit about this weekend? Because me and Chuck were kind of kicking around a little bit, and we thought that this would be the trap game. So are you worried about this weekend and thinking that might potentially be the trap game for Atlanta United?
You know, I think everybody is worried around Major League Soccer right now with the schedules. I mean, Chicago was in a 3-3 shootout last night in D.C. They found a goal in stoppage time themselves to get a point. So they left a lot on that field in Washington, D.C. How much are they going to have in the tank when they get down here? Because I'm assuming they're not going to go back to Chicago. They're going to come straight down and train here for a couple of days. That's where Major League Soccer is right now, as you're getting up against this international break. The schedule compression in 2019 is very different than it was in 2018 with the changes to the playoff format, with moving MLS Cup up. You have more Wednesday games right now, and everybody's going through it. I think Atlanta had a more difficult run because of the travel on top of the schedule compression. But right now, I think it's almost impossible to control 90 minutes of a match. I don't know if any team in the league is currently fit enough to do that.
Jason Longshore, color analyst for Atlanta United here on 92.9 The Game, joining us on the waitfor.com hotline. Let me piggyback off that, because now you got me, you know, as Randy Savage would say, you got me thinking. Does MLS at some point have to kind of, I don't know, flex its muscle or something, you know, to make this? Because you're right. I mean, let's face it. This, first of all, going from Vancouver to New York to Salt Lake, I don't understand that schedule. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, you know, Atlanta United is going to get a match on Saturday and then have off, I think, until the 26th. I think I'm right on that. I mean, this league and its starts and stops, and I get why, but at some point, doesn't it have to try to, like, say, okay, we got to stick to something a little bit more consistent?
Yeah, this year specifically is kind of the weird one that's an anomaly. I think it will get better going forward. You've moved MLS Cup up, and they wanted to get it out of that first weekend in December type of situation. All right, I can understand that. And you're going to have your international breaks for competition and tournaments. Like this summer, you have the Gold Cup, you have Copa America. Okay, all that's fine. But what you did this year, because you couldn't start the season any earlier because of when last season ended, is you just compressed it to a point that it affects the competition. It's really difficult for teams to play their best week in and week out when they're playing three games in a week. Or Minnesota, for example, this was game four of 5 in 15 days. The difference between what Minnesota is dealing with at the moment and what Atlanta dealt with earlier in that stretch is, out of those 5 games in 15 days, this was the only game away from home for Minnesota. And that was what was frustrating schedule-wise for Atlanta, was you were getting 5 games in 15 days, but you were going to Vancouver and then New York Red Bulls and then Real Salt Lake and traveling all over the place to make it even more complicated. Next season, reportedly, Major League Soccer season will start a little bit earlier. It'll start 2-3 weeks earlier into February. That'll stretch it out a little bit more, and you won't have as many Wednesday games.
Jason Longshore joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline, color analyst for all things Atlanta United, joining John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas. I'm in for Fricky for the next few days. So now we get Chicago, and, you know, seems like they've been kind of up and down. They're, they're +3 now in goal differential. What do we got to look forward to coming up Saturday? Is this a team that, you know, you and I kind of talked about being a little bit worried about Minnesota? Maybe they were kind of sneaky good. Where are we at with Chicago coming up on Saturday?
Chicago's similar. They got Nico Gaitán back, their creative Argentine playmaker that they added this season. He had been out for a few weeks with injuries. Chicago's a really tough team to read because it feels like they play very well, but they drop points in games that they shouldn't. And last night was another one of those. They had to fight back to get the point late. They shouldn't have lost the lead. They had a 2-0 lead at one point in that match. I feel like Chicago's a very good team, but I don't know where they are right now in terms of their tactics. It feels like each match is its own universe right now with the way they approach it. Sometimes they're very attack-minded. They get a lot of players forward. Sometimes they sit and kind of bunker. Sometimes they counter. Sometimes they press. You never quite know what you're going to get out of the Fire, and I think it affects their consistency. They've lost one in their last three. They drew their other two. The results are all over the place when it comes to Chicago right now. Tough team to read.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Hugh.
No, I'm just going to reset. Go ahead.
Last night, Leonardo Perez got a head injury. This is a two-part question. How is he doing, number one, and what is the concussion protocol in Major League Soccer?
The concussion protocol is something that definitely needs some tweaking. Early on in that one, and we had the monitors on the Fox Sports South broadcast up in our booth, he was up pretty quick interacting with people. I don't think there was much concern about concussion issues pretty quickly. For him, it was more of stopping the bleeding on the head injury, and they had to rewrap it a couple different times. Soccer and concussions, it's becoming a bigger conversation. And we know, you know, worldwide, I think the rest of the world is paying attention to what's happening with the National Football League. And you've seen way too many incidents lately where players are sent back on the field too quickly. And it's happened in our league this season. So it's something that Major League Soccer, I think with everything going on around concussions in American sports as a whole, I think MLS can really take the lead and develop a better concussion protocol, because right now it feels kind of basic and it feels like it's something that they're still trying to get their head around. But I don't think that was an issue with Leandro last night.
Although it was funny, as soon as he got back on the field, he takes a header. He does a header with it.
Yeah, that's why I was
about three or four times in a row.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, we were joking about, like, nobody put a ball at his feet. Everything was coming up in the air at him for about three straight plays. So follow him on Twitter at Long Shoe. He is our color analyst for all things Atlanta United here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. As always, Jason, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for jumping on. We'll talk to you here quickly.
Appreciate it, guys.
There you go. As we get ready for Atlanta United action Saturday, that will be 5:30 pregame with Jason Longshore and Mike Conney, and 6 o'clock kickoff. Hey, would you like a chance to win a trip to see the Rolling Stones live in concert, Hugh? The Stones No Filter Tour is coming back July 14th at the Superdome in New Orleans. Tickets are on sale May 31st, but register now at 929thegame.com for a chance to win a trip to New Orleans to see the Rolling Stones. Prizes will include round-trip airfare, two-floor tickets, two-night hotel stay, and a $500 gift card. When we get back, the head baseball coach for Georgia Tech, Danny Hall, will join us. Got the UGA perspective. Now we get the Georgia Tech perspective. All next, John Shuckery for John Fricke, Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We're giving away $250,000 with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus. Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000.
For details, go to 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. John Shuckery in for John Fricke the next few days. Hugh Douglas to my left, and we talked to Georgia's baseball coach a little bit later on, or a little bit earlier, I should say, in the show. Well, Georgia Tech, they are going to be starting regional action as well in the NCAA tournament. They'll be hosting the regional here, right here in Atlanta. We go out to the waitfor.com hotline. We are joined by the head coach, Danny Hall, longtime. He's become an institution at that school, Hugh. Danny Hall joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Coach Hall, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations on, I guess, ho-hum. Here's another great season, and Georgia Tech going to be hosting a regional for it.
Coach.
Yeah, no, it's never ho-hum. Trust me on that one. But, no, we're excited to be hosting a regional here in Atlanta, and certainly look forward to the opportunity to try to advance to that next round of Super Regionals.
Coach, you're the winningest coach in the history of all Tech sports. And it's interesting because while football and basketball have had their times where they've had their hiccups and the programs haven't been as good, you've been able to maintain such consistency with the baseball program that you've had very few hiccups and multiple World Series appearances. What is it about Georgia Tech and the baseball program that it's been able to stay so good and so relevant for such a long period of time?
Well, I'd probably answer that. First of all, we've had good players, and you know, Hugh knows this because he's, you know, played at a high, high level that if you have good players, you have a chance to win. And so you look at the recruiting base that we have here in Georgia, that so many good high school programs, so many good summer programs that, you know, we don't have to travel too far to find good players. So that's probably number one. I've had a lot of great coaches that have, you know, worked with me here at Tech. And, you know, I take some pride certainly in that three of the guys that I have, you know, had as either assistant coaches or players, one of them you just mentioned that you talked to earlier this morning, played for me and coached with me. And then Greg Beals at Ohio State played for me. And then Josh Holliday at Oklahoma State coached with me here at Tech. So it's been a true kind of just, you know, team effort of good recruiting, good players. And then our school, Georgia Tech, you know, I wouldn't say it's easy to recruit to it, but the payoff at the end of the day, if a guy doesn't end up having a career in pro baseball, you walk out of this place with a degree. You can literally just walk right across I-75 and 85, and you have an opportunity to be in some major companies, you know, and usually have a job offer walking out of here. So it's been a combination of a lot of things, but we do take a lot of pride in being consistent year in and year out.
Oh, there's no question about that, Coach. Coach, you've been in the last four regionals, but you're hosting one now. You're playing at home. How big is that for you?
Oh, it's huge just because, you know, you get to sleep in your own bed. You know your routine. You know your ballpark. You know you're going to have a lot of fans right behind you there rooting for you to advance. And, you know, you don't have to get on a bus. You don't have to get on a plane. You know where you're going to eat. And it just helps with just the routine part of it, which, you know, Hugh, it's critical as an athlete to stay in your routine.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Coach Danny Hall joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline as Georgia Tech baseball gets ready for regional action. They'll be hosting the regional. Coach, catcher Kyle McCann had some huge shoes to step into and fill, but he's responded big time. 20th in the nation, tied for 20th in the nation in RBIs, tied for fourth in home runs. What has been about it that he's been able to handle these expectations and really thrive this season for you?
Well, you know, he's always, even last year, I mean, he played first base for us last year, so he had a really good year offensively for us last year. But then taking over the catching reins from Joey Bart, big shoes to fill, but as our season has gone along, he has just kept getting better and better behind the plate. He's a very likable guy by his teammates, and that comes into play with that catcher-pitcher relationship. Our guys trust him a lot, and then he's just even gotten better offensively, and in his own right has put himself in position here early next week to be a high draft pick. But he's one of our leaders, not only offensively but defensively. He's like the quarterback of our team, and he's done a tremendous job.
Coach, early in the preseason, you weren't picked to go that. I think it was like fifth or something like that. When did you see the transition come for your team when they started to play better?
So we kind of saw it probably early on in some of our preseason workouts. You could just tell that there was the start of a competitive edge. We played UCLA early, the second weekend in a series here in Atlanta, and even though we lost that series, we kind of saw what number one looks like, because they have been number one most of the year, and they are the number one seed in the tournament. And we kind of looked at it and said, there's not that much difference between them and our team. But then when we went on the road early in the ACC season to Louisville was picked to win the league. They ended up winning the league. and we won that series on the road. And I kind of think after that series, our guys felt like, okay, we can compete with anybody that we play because we just went on the road and knocked off a really good team. So I think it was probably the Louisville, for me, the Louisville series. You saw the competitiveness kind of coming early on, but I think that Louisville series just made everybody on our squad look around and say, hey, we're pretty good, and let's go prove it.
Legendary Georgia Tech baseball coach Danny Hall joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Coach, last thing for you. You know, you're a team that certainly offensively can mash the baseball between what Tristan English and Kyle McCann that we talked about earlier can do, but there's a speed element to your offense as well, and you're a team that doesn't get into a lot of double plays and things like that. Is that kind of one of the more maybe underrated facets of this team offensively, is the speed element?
Absolutely, and that's kind of one of our things, is that we want to put pressure on people when we're on offense, and we do it in a lot of different ways. We might do it with our legs. We might do it bunting. Obviously, when English and McCann step in there, there's a fear factor that if there's guys on, they can hit a home run and put some runs on the board in a hurry. But, you know, we kind of have the three guys in the middle. You mentioned them, McCann, English, and then Baron Ratcliffe, that can run balls out of the ballpark. But we've got another six guys that can just beat you in different ways of taking a walk, running the bases, bunting. You kind of get through those guys, and you might have a little sigh of relief, and then all of a sudden here comes two or three hits later and two or three runs later that you didn't see coming. So our kind of style is we want to put pressure on you every pitch.
Go out and support the locals. Coming up May 31st, Georgia Tech will be hosting NCAA Regional Action. We've been joined by Danny Hall, legendary head coach of Georgia Tech's baseball program. Coach Hall, really appreciate the time. Good luck to y'all. It's going to be a fun regional. And listen, I can tell you honestly, we're rooting for all the locals here. It's a good time for baseball here in Atlanta.
Yes, it is. And I take the opportunity to be on with you guys this morning.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Yep.
Have a good one.
There you go. Danny Hall, legendary coach. He's won almost 750 games or something at Georgia Tech in his career. Crazy, crazy stuff. All right, NBA Finals about to get cranked up and get started. Hugh and I will break all that down. One last chance to win $1,000. Still going to be a busy 9 o'clock hour. It's all next. John Chuckreen for John Fricke, Sports Radio 920 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.